The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Welcome along to the Punt Podcast. We're here to have a look at the Premier League fixtures this weekend and, of course, the League Cup final, where Sunderland are trying to do what Wigan did to Manchester City last year, what Birmingham did to Arsenal in the final of the Capital One Cup a couple of seasons ago as well, and upset the odds. We're joined by Derek McGovern and Robbie Savage. No, Ron Atkinson. He's managing ex-England versus ex-Scotland in Dubai, as you do. You know, that's what most people do, I think, of a Friday afternoon. You both well?
Very well, very well.
Is he managing ex-England?
Yes, he is, yeah.
My money be firmly on Scotland.
It's harsh, but maybe fair. You don't go along with the idea that Ron's the best England manager that they never had, then?
Yeah, I do.
Maybe Brian Clough, I think. Yeah, I think you're probably just about edge it with Cloughy. Let's have a look at the TV games first. We'll look at the Premier League ones, then we'll do the League Cup final. First of all, then, on Saturday night, Southampton versus Liverpool. Southampton are priced up at 13-5. The draw is 5-2, and this may interest a few people. Liverpool are even money with their title contenders, and that might be quite a big price for Liverpool. This is kind of like the battle of the two teams that the bookies always maybe overestimate, Robbie. Southampton have had a fantastic season, though, to be fair to them. It's hard to criticise what they've done. Liverpool, now the pressure's on them. What do you think? If they go to Southampton and win, then suddenly, you know, they close that gap at the top if results go their way, and they could be genuine title contenders. What do you think, Robbie?
Well, who'd have thought it last season that Liverpool would have five England members, and Southampton have got, is it three or four?
Four, yeah.
So I think it's you know, it's fantastic for both clubs. I think it sums how well both clubs have done, especially Liverpool. Liverpool have been ridiculously good. I think even money, you have to go for Liverpool.
It is a tempter, isn't it, Derek? I mean, it's still even money, though. I mean, if we're not going to get carried away here, it may look like one of the greatest bets of all time if they win and they go on to finish second in the Premier League or something. Can you trust them away from home with their defence?
Well, they'll concede. That's pretty much certain. But, you know, it's you score three, we'll score four. I mean, the rider I would give is that Liverpool, despite their brilliance, they've only won five of their 13 away games this season. That said, Southampton are supposed to have been brilliant too, and they've only won five of their 13 home games. So, you know, there are flaws there to be remedied. Yeah, I agree with Robbie, though. I think Liverpool, the way they're playing right now, evens, you have to back them almost no matter who they're playing, as long as it's not like the Cities and the Chelseas. And let's not forget, Southampton have lost to West Ham and Sunderland in recent weeks. You know, there's an air of sort of, oh, yeah, we've done enough this season. You just wonder whether they've hit the wall now. Liverpool, bang at it still. And you just know they're going to score. And they'll probably score more than Southampton this weekend. Earlier in the season, remember, Lee, I was itching for the reverse fixture. Yeah. Southampton, and I couldn't wait to back Southampton. And then I saw the odds. I thought it'd be something like 8-1. They were only 5-1, but they did the business. I'm itching almost as much to back Liverpool in this one. That's how far the tides have turned.
You need to get to the doctors, basically, if you're itching that much. Southampton are one of only two teams to have kept Liverpool down to a clean sheet. And that's the only other team was Arsenal, of course, at the Emirates. As you guys have said, you know, the way Liverpool firing shots, first of all, and more shots on target than any other team this season, 186 on target. And Sturridge, I mean, a word on Sturridge, guys, because, you know, we haven't really talked about him that much, despite his fantastic goal scoring record.
What was that?
Liverpool have fired in more shots on target than anyone else, 186 this season they've had.
United have only had 286 shots.
In total. Wow, that's crazy, isn't it? Yeah, Sturridge has scored 8 consecutive Premier League games. Only Ruud van Nistelrooy has scored in more consecutive appearances in the history of the Premier League. That's 10. I mean, if he was to equal that record, that is something else, isn't it? I mean, I know Ruud van Nistelrooy was crap, Derek, but...
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, here's how far he's come. I saw odds earlier this week. It wasn't with Hills, it was with another bookmaker. Who will score the most goals between now and the end of the season between Suarez and Sturridge? And Sturridge was the favourite, 4-5 favourite. Mm-hmm. Now, if you'd have said that like 3 months ago, you'd have been, you know, shaking your head in disbelief, but that's how far he's come. Yeah. And yeah, I, you know, I still think there's a flaw in his makeup. I still think that it drives me mad when players are over greedy. Jermaine Defoe was another one of them, and a number of times he could square it, you know, or could pass set up a player. But that aside, he's been brilliant.
To be fairly, I've got a flaw in my makeup. I don't put enough mascara on.
That is true.
I don't believe that.
Can he beat Suarez to the top goal scorer? I mean, he's got a long way to go. But,
no,
you know,
he's too far to go. Yeah, and Suarez has gone 5 or 6 games without scoring. That ain't going to last forever. He's hit the post about a million times again since.
Yeah, true.
No, he won't. He won't beat Suarez.
He's 1-7 to be top goal scorer. Suarez. The Hills have done a market without Luis Suarez, which may interest you. But Sturridge is 8-13 favourite to top that list. 4-1 Sergio Aguero. Olivier Giroud 20-1. Yaya Toure 20s. Hazard 25s.
When was the last time a team that's probably not going to win the league had the two top goal scorers in the league?
I mean, usually the top goal scorers in the league win the title, don't they?
Yeah. To be fair. No, but I mean, you know, the two individual top goal scorers.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
And then they probably won't win the league.
Can I ask that question again? I mean, he's 5 goals behind Suarez.
He ain't going to
11
do it.
To 2.
No. There's only 11 games to go, Lee. It's not possible.
He might have 10 goals in him, though.
Yeah, but Suarez will have a few as well.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Your best hope is getting Suarez to bite somebody, then you might have a chance.
in the race without Suarez, Sturridge is on 18 goals, Sergio Aguero is on 15, Torre's on 13, Remy's on 12. A 3-goal gap between him and Sergio Aguero, 8-13, big enough, Derek, or about right?
Depends how Aguero comes back from his injury. Yeah. I think Aguero is a more lethal striker than Sturridge.
Yeah. 4-1 Aguero.
Yeah, I'd still be prepared to have a dabble on that one.
Yeah, yeah. Robbie, who do you think tops that list? If we're betting without Suarez, if we say he's already the top goal scorer in a lot of people's eyes, Aguero 3 behind Sturridge, would you be backing him at 4-1?
No, Sturridge.
Sturridge, yeah. 8-13. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. And on this game, Sturridge to score and Liverpool to win is 5-2. Adam Lallana to score in a Southampton win is 10-1. Now, Southampton have got this tremendous record against Liverpool. I think they've won the last 3 in a row at St Mary's. And as I said before, they kept them to nil already this season. Can't be tempted, though, either of you. Both going Liverpool.
No, it's hard to back against Liverpool now, Lee, isn't it?
True.
The way they're playing.
Yeah. So Liverpool for you, Derek.
Yeah,
Liverpool
definitely.
For you, Robbie.
Liverpool for me, evens, definitely.
Yeah, even money. Fair enough. Sturridge, just to score in the match, by the way, is even money as well. So make your choice. What's a better bet? Sturridge to score? Any time, or Liverpool to win. You can take your pick on that. Suarez is 10-11. Gerrard, 9-4. Let's have a look at the Sunday TV game. There are only 2 TV games in the Premier League this weekend before we have a look at the League Cup final. The second of the TV games isn't exactly mouth-watering, but there's a lot on it. Aston Villa versus Norwich is at 4:30 on Sunday. 21-20 the price for Villa. Norwich are 5-2. And the draw is 12-5. Very nervy, this one, you'd imagine, Derek. Robbie made a good point. We were talking to Robbie yesterday doing the William Hill TV, so I've made a good point. Villa are always on the crest of just about getting safe, aren't they? You know, it's almost like, yeah, they're nearly there. They never quite get over the line. They have to win this at home, don't they?
Lee.
Go on.
That's the difference. You know, they keep Derek away from the camera because, you know, I am by far the most best-looking. That's why I'm on TV. Yeah, and that's why you're on the punt, because nobody can see it.
I've got the face for radio, Rob. That's
fair
my
enough.
Trouble.
We're all in that. You've got hair for radio, Robbie, to be fair.
Hey, Lee, Villa, you know, you keep saying they're on the crest of being safe, but I've had them in my bottom 3 all season long. I think they're a shocking side, and they're a bit like West Ham for me. I don't see where their points come from. Yeah, I mean, they look safe, don't they? They look, well, Adam, what are they, 14th or something like that?
28 points,
but
yeah.
Only 4 points off the bottom, and I don't see that with them picking up many points this season, between now and the end of the season. But I've said that all season long. And this game, Jesus Christ, who'll be watching this? I don't even think Villa and Norwich fans will be.
Yeah.
Villa have scored 1 goal in their last 4. Norwich has scored 2 in their last 5. I mean, it ain't going to be a goal fest. The fear of losing is going to be uppermost. And I'm just looking at one bet here in a headline off to match stats. Norwich to keep a clean sheet, 13-5, when Villa have failed to score in each of their last 3 Premier League matches. I think that's a magnificent bet, I really do. Villa got a terrible home record as well, haven't they? They never break teams down at Villa Park. So, yeah, Norwich to keep a clean sheet, almost 3-1. That's a fantastic bet.
Yeah, I suppose the fly in that ointment, Robbie, is Benteke. And I know he's not anywhere near the level.
Rubbish. Talk about Benteke. He's just been a clown all season long. Why all of a sudden is he going to turn back the clock and tip to last season's form when he's been absolute useless all season? It's not going to happen.
Yeah, he scored in the 4-3 win over West Brom, though, didn't he?
Oh, Christ, if you're lumbering around up front all season long, you're going to get a goal every now and again.
Hey, I'll go Villa 1-0, Benteke to score.
Well, Benteke to score in a Villa win is 5-2.
My bet.
Let me give you the price for that. Hang on, because it's obviously going to be first goal scorer. 18-1, Benteke to score in a 1-0 win. He obviously would have to score first. So first goal scorecast, that's called. 18-1. Norwich, I mean, you've had Norwich in your bottom three pretty much all season, Robbie, haven't you? You in fact, you said that pre-season, then you kind of changed your mind, I think, a little bit, but then you've gone back to where you were.
Pre-season, I think my three to go down were Hull, Cardiff and Sunderland.
Oh, right, okay.
My three. And then, obviously, I've changed to Fulham, Cardiff and Norwich.
Do you know what? I'm too fair to you, Robbie. You actually said Norwich earlier than that. And then I think when they brought the strikers in, you were kind of like, well, they've brought in some strikers there. But they just haven't done it. They haven't done it, have they, Norwich?
I changed that often. I don't know what I'm talking about.
That's fair enough.
I probably tipped them off 12 teams to go down. I just, yeah, Benteke 1-0. Norwich, I still think Norwich will go down. You know, the only thing that concerns me that they won't, you know, from my tip, is that, you know, they drew a City and beat Spurs at home. So I know the last four games are like United, Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool, but you've got to say that they need to get a point on the ball before them four games, and I don't think they will. So yeah. It's going to be so tight. It's going to be so tight. But I'm going to go, Villa to beat Norwich.
Yeah, no, their away record is pretty poor, Norwich, to be fair. They lost at West Ham, they lost at Cardiff, lost at Everton, no shame in that. Drew at Palace, drew at Sunderland, so haven't beaten any of the teams around them.
How many clean sheets did they get away from home?
Norwich. They had a clean sheet at Sunderland, at West Brom and at Stoke.
Right.
So they won at West Brom and won at Stoke. They're only two away victories all season.
Yeah, but they ain't got, you know, they'll see a draw as a good result, won't they?
Definitely, yeah. And we know about Villa, how hard they find it to break teams down who don't come at them. Villa, Norwich for you, Derek.
Well, Norwich to keep a clean sheet for the match. I can see a 0-0 draw. 0-0 draw.
And Robbie?
1-0 Benteke.
Fair dues. The Capital One Cup final takes place on Sunday. This is Manchester City versus Sunderland, of course. The odds, as you might expect, are vastly in favour of Manchester City. They're 2-7 to win this trophy or win the game in 90 minutes. 9-1 Sunderland. The price for the draw is 9-2. Man City probably get a little bit of a shiver down the spine when they think about cup finals that they should win. Of course, they were chinned last year, weren't they? When everyone thought they would win the match. Headline offers: Yaya Toure to score in a City win 2-1. Adam Johnson to score and Sunderland to win 33-1. Robbie, we were talking yesterday about obviously brings back good memories for you. Lost 1-1-1, not a bad record in the League Cup final. Massive day for Sunderland, this, isn't it? The City players will be quite used to this kind of occasion. But what a huge day for these Sunderland players and the fans.
Oh, it's amazing. I think I was fortunate to play at the old Wembley when, and Del, remember, I used to come from behind the tunnel, balloons would be going off. The atmosphere at the old Wembley was far better. And the whole day, the moment you get on the bus, you get your suit on, you have new suits for the day. It's just fantastic. We went 2 days before. Martin O'Neill took us to a couple of shows in the West End. It was brilliant. And the party afterwards. And I think Sunderland will go then and enjoy it. But you've got to say City. They're not going to get turned over again. City -1. I don't know what the odds are. I'll leave that this stuff for that week, but I go City -1 in the cup final.
-1 for City is still odds on. It's 7-10. 2-0 correct score, if you like to go that way, is 13-2. Derek, when you looked at Sunderland last week, you know, maybe they had, you know, their eyes on this game. They were pretty poor against Arsenal, weren't they? They looked like they got ripped to bits against Arsenal. You wonder about City with that thing in their mind about not slipping up again on a big pitch, etc., etc. Sunderland should have no chance here, should they? In reality, they should have absolutely no chance here.
No, but most people said the same about Wigan. Yeah, I think these are pretty much the same odds as the cup final day as well. I think I seem to remember Wigan being 9-1, and that's exactly what Sunderland are here.
Yeah.
But in my eyes, Wigan had something about them. You remember, even though they got relegated, I thought they were always on the day, if they turned it on, they were capable of beating real good sides. I'm not sure you can say the same about Sunderland. That said, in the last seven meetings with Manchester City, they've won four of them. How do you rate that one out?
Yeah.
You know, they were all at Sunderland, by the way, but they have shown they're capable of beating them. But everywhere I look, City are impressive, you know, in on paper anyway, and Sunderland the opposite. I just can't see on what planet Sunderland can win this one. And the fact that, you know, complacency would be Sunderland's only chance, complacency in City's ranks. But that surely won't happen after what happened against Wigan. So, yeah, I'm going to go for City for a comfortable win here. Minus two goals, 15-8. I think this could be a bit of a cakewalk. 15-8. So City to win by three or more.
You know when you say on the big pitch, what do people think that a Premier League player on a five-a-side pitch? I don't get it when people say it's a big pitch. I don't get it.
Fair enough. I don't know, I guess to a non-football...
Why do people say, you know, it's a big pitch and, you know, they might get cramp? I don't get it.
Why do players get cramp in a cup final but never in a league game?
I haven't got a clue. I don't know. It's weird. It's nervous.
Surely it's nervous energy, I think, is what the medical guy. If you ask someone, they say it's the nervous energy that you expel before a game.
Well, you're a doctor now.
I can read. I've read people's accounts of it, which you could understand that, couldn't you? You would be a lot.
It's a nervous energy when before a FA Cup final when everyone says Premier League's more important now anyway.
Big occasion and all that. Surely you must be more nervous going out when you run from that tunnel.
Every time, if you haven't got adrenaline before every game you play or something wrong.
And you had no more when you ran out of the old Wembley through that tunnel?
No. Really? I was used to it year after year.
You've just got a big game mentality. Well, maybe that's wrong then. Yeah, that's fair enough.
No, it's a big pitch. What's the dimensions compared to Old Trafford?
Oh, as if Lee would know that. Come on, Lee, what is it?
I'll tell you in a minute.
My
friend Graham Oogle.
You used to watch Wembley, Cup Finals at Wembley. Wembley was instantly recognisable as a pitch. You know, you didn't see even if the camera was knew it was Wembley. Now it just looks like another pitch, another game. You know, it just isn't the same.
Yeah, it's not the same as the old days, is it?
No, definitely
not.
Bring back Cup Final. It's a Cup Final knockout.
I've got a quick quiz question for the pair of you. Well, our sound. What's this sound?
You count your money.
No, that's coins. That's coins. Notes don't make that noise. Ready?
You're on a fixed odds betting terminal.
What is that? False teeth rattling around in the case?
It's more articulate than you.
No, it's Tic Tacs.
I would never have got that. We're supposed to be talking about tactics on this podcast.
Oh, hey, Lee.
I'm filling because I'm trying to type in Wembley dimensions compared to other Premier League grounds. I'm determined to prove that this is a... Wembley is a...
Hills have even employed their own tic-tac man now.
I'll come back to it. I have found an article that says, does size matter? But I don't know if it's the same thing. In terms of some stats on this League Cup final, everything's in City's favour, as you might imagine. City have scored 19 goals and conceded just one in the Capital One Cup this season. Sunderland have got 19 yellow cards in the competition so far, which is 11 more than any other team. City have shown 6, so Sunderland have to be wary of their discipline and getting someone carded and then sent off.
I know. Go on.
What's this noise? Ready?
Go on.
What's that noise?
Don't know.
I didn't hear anything then.
It's an empty Tic Tac case.
Jesus. Just going back to your earlier question about does size matter? No, because one of Robbie's ex-girlfriends says what he lacks in size he makes up for in speed. So in the bedroom, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, dear. City minus one for you, Robbie. And what are you going for, Derek?
City minus two. 15-8.
Yeah, so if you think the opposite to that, then there's plenty of bets around Sunderland on the handicap, but it's very hard to make a case, to be fair. Back to the Premier League, the 3 o'clock kickoffs on Saturday. Stoke versus Arsenal first up, 9-2 Stoke, 13-5 the draw. Arsenal are priced up at 4-6. Well, Stoke, one of those teams who are kind of hovering around the place where the safety mark, if you like, because if they win three more games, you'd imagine they would be safe. But it's a long way to go. Yeah, only won 6 all season. Can they win half that again in the remaining fixtures? 27 points they're on. Arsenal second now, a point behind Chelsea. Arsenal, going for the title, this is the game you must win, Derek, isn't it, if you're Arsenal?
Arsenal aren't going for the title, Lee. They're a long, long way short of title winning material. I don't care what the league table says. They ain't going to be winning anything. And, you know, I have to say Stoke here at 9-2. They've been very unlucky in recent results, Stoke. I mean, they've not many defeats in that run, and they could have, you know, they could have got victories in each of them. And this is including games against Man City, Chelsea. You know, they played really, really well without getting the rewards.
And beat Man United, of course.
Yeah, exactly. And Arsenal, okay, they beat Sunderland last week, but were they that impressive that day, or was it Sunderland being useless? And I don't remember a decent Arsenal performance. They just look like, to me, a team that's going to get a sound beating every time, you know, whenever they meet anyone decent. I'm not saying Stoke fall into that category, but at 9-2, you know, Arsenal got a terrible record at the Britannia as well, by the way. I think they played there six times, only won one. I read in the paper today, surprised me, there's still a lot of bad feeling between the clubs over that Ryan Shawcross, yeah, Aaron Ramsey incident. Yeah. I thought that would have, you know, diminished by now, but no, it's still a raw wound. So, you know, there's a bit of bite in this. I'm all over Stoke here, 9-2. I think it's a great bet.
Yeah, Robbie, when you look at Stoke's home form and that 5-3 defeat to Liverpool, which was a bit of a crazy game, they probably could have got something out of that. Beat Man United, drew with Everton, beat Chelsea 3-2 in the Premier League, let's not forget. I mean, this is a tough game for Arsenal. And as Derek says, traditionally they don't like it at Stoke, do they, Arsenal? You know, that's maybe a cliche, maybe a stereotype, but there's something about a Stoke-Arsenal game that Arsenal maybe shudder a little bit about. What do you think?
Well, Mark Hughes was Arsene Wenger. Remember when Arsene Wenger used to criticise our Blackburn team for being a bit physical against them? I'm sure Stoke would be the same kind of way, but I'm going to go with Arsenal. I think Arsenal, you know, their players... To be fair, I've got to say, I loved Arsene Wenger on the TV this week when he was saying that, you know, I'm giving my players 2 days off. And when the reporter said to him, I'm having 2 days off, he went, that's a scandal. I thought he was brilliant. And, you know, people saying that every club will have 2 or 3 days off at the time. It's ridiculous that, you know, people questioning what he does. How can people question him? I think Arsenal will go there and win. I think they'll win 2-0. I'm going to go 2-0 Arsenal.
Interesting. By the way, if you think if you disagree with Robbie and think they score, Crouch has got a tremendous record against Arsenal as well. I think it's only the second highest number of goals he's scored against any opposition. But Arsenal 2-0 is 7-1. Arsenal, the only team to score, it's maybe another way of looking at that. Arsenal, only team to score 8-5, which is interesting. Don't forget that both teams are scoring under and over 2.5 goals bet, which Hills have been putting out lately. So both teams to score and more than three goals in the game or three or more goals in the game is the bet there. Derek, remind us what you're going for.
Stoke
9-2. It does look a big price, doesn't it, to be fair?
It's obviously Dennis' bet of the week, then.
Yeah, it could well be. Could well be.
Everton, West Ham, 4-9 Everton, 16-5 the draw. West Ham 13-2. What about? I mean, Derek's tearing his hair out about West Ham. To be fair, this season they're the 10th with 31 points, not that far off safety. Robbie, I mean, you know, whatever you say. I mean, look at the results recently. Haven't lost a game since in the Premier League, that is, since the 18th of January, and they lost 3-1 to Newcastle. Since then, they've drawn with Chelsea, they've beaten Swansea 2-0, they've beaten Villa 2-0, they've beaten Norwich 2-0, and just beaten Southampton 3-1. I mean, what a performance they've put in over the past few weeks, Robbie.
Brilliant. Do you know what? I remember the start of the season, you know, before the ball was kicked, you know, so July, and I looked at Carroll, Downing, Jarvis, Nolan. I thought, do you know what? West Ham will have a decent season here. And I said, you know, that they could possibly finish above Everton. But that was before any, you know, they'd lost Moyes, they had no signings. And nobody could have envisaged how well Everton have done, you know, the signs they got, Martinez, but losing Carroll was a blow. It would have been a bit interesting to see. I'm not saying it would have been in the top six, not at all. I think top 10 if they've had Carroll fit for most of the season. I really, really do, because I think it's been a poor Premier League season. I think Everton will beat them, but I think both teams to score, but Everton to win.
Interesting one, yeah. I mean, Everton's home form is rock solid, Derek, isn't it? I'll find the price for Robbie's bet. Lost once all season to Sunderland, Everton, which obviously is a blip. It's a blip, isn't it? You've got to say it's a blip when they've won pretty much every other game they've played, apart from Liverpool, Tottenham, West Brom.
I know, but a very short price for them to meet. Listen, I've read West Ham wrong, obviously, I've big time. I've opposed them virtually every weekend. They keep on winning. They've made me look a bigger mug than any team in the league, and most teams have. I've got to say, you know, if I have read them wrong, it follows that at these odds, they've got to be worth an interest here, 13-2. Principally because Everton are not the same team without Jagielka. They're struggling to score goals. I just, you know, I've got a sneaking feeling about this game. I just think West Ham are overpriced there. 13-2, I think it's too big to, you know, for a team that's just won four on the spin. Okay, those games came against Swansea, Villa, and Norwich, and arguably a bit better Southampton. But still, the comfort. And before that, they drew on again with Chelsea, by the way. I'm going to go for West Ham. I've obviously read them wrong. Hats off to Big Sam.
I can't actually believe you said. Let's complete this double and just admit that Ferguson's probably the best manager that's ever managed.
Yeah,
this whole
right.
Not having that one. No, let's quit while we're ahead. Wow. It is a massive price, though, isn't it? 13-2.
Yeah.
Fulham Chelsea. Fulham 7-1, 7-2 the draw. Chelsea priced up at 2-5. The only English club to get anything out of Europe in this past round of games. The 1-1 draw, obviously bringing an away goal back to Stamford Bridge for the return leg. Fulham, discuss. I mean, what a mess Fulham have been this season and are still in, really. I mean, yet to see the full effect of the new manager, I guess. Did get a 1-1 draw at West Brom, but even that's no great shakes, is it? When you think they had the 1-0 lead until 4 minutes from time and end up losing the 3 points, if you like, which they desperately need. 21 points, Derek, bottom of the table, 4 points from safety, and they've got Chelsea next. They've got, away at Cardiff, home to Newcastle, away at City, home to Everton. There's no easy game for them now, is there?
No. But there was a little, a crumb of comfort in that performance against West Brom, wasn't there? You know, it was a lot better than what had gone before, and maybe the new manager's getting a desired effect. It's hard to go to find evidence to back him, even at 7-1 to beat Chelsea. But I read somewhere, Lee, that five of the last seven meetings between these two sides have ended in draws. I don't know whether your stats tally with that, but I know Chelsea won their 3-0 last season, but a couple of other matches finished draw at Craven Cottage before that. So maybe Chelsea aren't the bankers people think. They had a tough game in Turkey in the midweek, struggling to polish sides off. All in all, are they someone you want to back at 4-9? The answer, yes. Chelsea will win.
Yeah,
this could be my. I'm on match of the day. Well, I think I am tomorrow night, so this will be my game. It's amazing you have a choice of games, Del. So it's Hansen. So he's chose Stoke Arsenal to watch, and I thought the other game I'd look at would be Fulham West Ham, because Southampton Liverpool's at R5, isn't it? So I've gone for Fulham. Yeah. So mine also would be on Fulham and Chelsea. So I think I'm going to be picking it. It's going to be interesting to see if he's changed this, how hard they work. It's going to be an interesting game, but I think Chelsea they've got to win it. They should blow them up, shouldn't they, Bill?
Well, they should do, yeah. But you just the new manager, Mike Athey, just the signs maybe that there's a bit of a turnaround. Can I just ask you on the match of the day point there, right? You just mentioned that and Hansen get a game to watch in its entirety.
Yeah.
So how much time do you have to look at the other games? Because you pontificate on the other games at the end as well. How much of those games have you watched?
So what will happen then, Del? So for instance, you're going for... So there's no early game tomorrow. So usually you're going for the early game. So you'll both watch the early game, yeah?
Yeah.
And then 3 o'clock. The 3 o'clock. So tomorrow, for instance, there's 5 3 o'clock. I think.
Yeah.
So we'll have a game each. But obviously the screens are right in front of you. So you'll keep an eye on everything, if you know what I mean.
Right.
But there are five people. So for instance, there are five people there watching every game. I watch one. Hansen will watch one. The other three people will do the other three.
What, backroom staff?
You mean but they'll note every big key points.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, and then there's the 5:30 game you both watch. So you can, it's quite hard to do that. This is what annoys me. Young people watch Match of the Day. It is very, very hard to do. Do you know what I mean? You have a couple of hours to the analysis. Other TV programs have a weekend to sift through everything. You have literally 2 hours,
isn't it a shortchange in viewers though, to listen to you and Alan Hansen or whoever's on? Tell them about, Swansea v Palace, when you've only watched about the same as we have on the highlights, about 2 minutes.
No, you watch the games now. The games are in front of you, right? But the main game. So if you're on sixth or seventh, the highlights will be short, wouldn't they? And you'll just talk over the main points of the game, wouldn't they? You're not going to go to it. The in-depth analysis you see is when the games you've watched.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So the games you haven't watched, or the games you've not, you've seen but
yeah.
not keeping.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Just brief
they'll
analysis.
Just the key, they'll just be the key talking points. Like, was it a penalty?
Yeah. Or, yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Fair enough. Mm. I'll allow you that one.
There you go. So.
Yeah. Very good. Oh, it's interesting to get an insight into the what happens at Match of the Day.
It's very It's very difficult. It's very difficult. You know, it's very difficult because, you know, you watch, everybody says Gary Neville's the best, and to a point, I'd agree there, but the reason why he is the best is because he gets so much time to dissect through every game, Bill.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. He might say one or two things different to a lot of people, and I think he's great, but if you get any, I think a lot of people, you, me, you don't have to play football, can look at a game and see different things, and if you have the time, you can just dissect them.
Yeah, yeah. When you've got plenty to do, it is difficult. Yeah. You can see this game, Robbie, Fulham v Chelsea. I wouldn't be surprised if you're looking at a low scorer when you look at it, because Fulham...
2-0 Chelsea. 2-0.
Fair enough. 13-2. Bang. Ivanovic has scored...
13-2, is that?
13-2, yeah.
Wow, that's a great bet.
Branislav Ivanovic has scored Chelsea's last two Premier League goals away from home. He's 7-1 to score any time here.
Dangerous player now. He's more dangerous than the strikers, isn't he, Ivanovic?
Mm. Hazard, obviously been in great nick, hasn't he? It's 7-4 for him to score in a Chelsea win. Fulham, they're down, aren't they, by the way, guys? There's no way they... I mean, they need six... He said they need six wins, hasn't he, the new manager? Out of 11 games.
Well, they've only got six out of 27, so that ain't going to happen.
There's no way that these things change.
How many points is going to stay up, though?
How many teams, what?
How many points?
How many points?
I'm going to say how many teams, 17. How many points?
That was an easy one, yeah.
35 will stay up, I think. I think it's going to be a low total. 35 will be enough.
Yeah, I think
34, 35,
I'm with you.
If you look at West Brom, who are the first team who are safe at the minute, 25 points, there's no way, I mean, they'd have to get to 35, they obviously need three wins and a draw, don't they? Out of 11 games. Yeah. They've only won four games all season.
Cool, I'll tell you what, you're a master, Goodley.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah.
You're a mathematician, doctor.
I'm everything. Oh, by the way, I've got an answer for you. I've got an answer for you about Wembley pitch. The Wembley pitch is 115 yards by 75 yards. Stadium of Light pitch, just to prove the point, 115 yards by 75 yards.
Is it really?
Yeah, so I was wrong. That's just one example. And I think Manchester City's ground is slightly smaller, but basically the same dimensions as Wembley.
There you go. Not a big pitch.
No, it's not. I was wrong.
No, but
that
is amazing. Now, someone said, "What is, you know, is Wembley bigger than the Stadium of Light?" You know, 100 people surveyed, 95 would have said yes. Yeah. Incredible, yeah. Incredible.
Yeah. I could get the rest of the Premier League dimensions, but I won't. Manchester City is 115 by 74, so it is slightly bigger by a yard in width. Yeah. Anyway, that's it's pretty boring. That isn't
it? Kills that myth, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does kill that myth completely. I won't say it ever again. Who are you going for then, Derek?
I'm going to go for Chelsea to be the only team to score 11-8.
That looks a decent bet, to me, to be fair.
2-0, 13-2. That is my bet of the week.
Oh, you're going for that, yeah? Fulham, Chelsea 2-0. Fine.
So let's zip through these next games, then, Lee.
Okay. Hull Newcastle 7-5. Hull 21-10. The draw. Newcastle 21-10. Not many people will be watching or making a point of watching the result in this one. Hull 11th with 30 points. Newcastle 8th with 40 points. Hull need this more than Newcastle, you'd say, and that kind of says a lot about their season at the minute, Derek. They seem to have nothing to play for, Newcastle.
No, and they showed it last week. I thought they were absolutely shocking against Villa. Even though they won it 1-0, they lost five home games on the spin before that. So at least you got the crowd off the back. But I couldn't believe what I was watching. It was one of the worst games I've ever seen. And Hull, tell your hats off to Steve Bruce. He knew what was wrong at Hull. They needed more firepower up front. He goes out and buys two strikers in the transfer window who've solved the problem. And they look as though they're going from strength to strength. I think Hull will win this. I think all day long, 7-5 for me.
I'll go 1-0 draw. Boosie always used to say at Birmingham, you're only as good as your strikers, and Dell's bang on where he said Gilovich and Long doing the business. But I think that what a season for Hull. They can have a mid, if they can be that team, you know, just below Southampton and Newcastle, you know, just to win the relegation battle, I would say. Do you know what I mean? So there's like 10 teams in it. If they can head that list, what a season. Great chance of getting to Wembley as well. Well done, Steve Bruce. 1-0 draw.
Yeah. They've just hit the ground running. As a partnership, I think Alan Shearer was talking about on Match of the Day, going back to Match of the Day the other day, about, you know, they've just hit the ground running, haven't they, as a partnership. 6-4 for Long to score, 6-5 for Jelovic to score in the match, by the way. So and obviously, you got your headline offers, which revolve around those two. One bet that might interest a few people, if you're going 1-1, it might be in the other scorers' markets, you can pick two players to score at any time. Maybe Remy to score and Jelovic to score at any time might be worth a look, because if he's on the pitch, Remy, he tends to get a goal, doesn't he? Yeah, that price is 11-2, by the way. Jelovic and Remy to score at any time in the game, 11-2. Long and Remy to score at any time is 6-1. The non-TV games on Sunday are Swansea versus Crystal Palace and Tottenham Cardiff. The Swansea game first, 3-4 Swansea, 13-5 the draw. Palace are priced up at 18-5. Unlucky Swansea, weren't they, Robbie? They acquitted themselves really well over the course of the two legs against Napoli, who are the second favourites to win the Europa League. Obviously, got a goal as well, which was the crucial thing, but got pipped in the end. Traditionally, they've struggled when they've come back from away games, and you can imagine them having a bit of a hangover here. Then again, Palace don't win that many games away from home in the Premier League. Who wins this one?
I think Swansea. I think getting three goals at Liverpool, scoring at Napoli, so you've got to suggest that Swansea will score, especially being at home. I'll go Swansea to edge it, maybe 2-1.
Yeah, they haven't conceded a goal for three at home in the league, Derek. They have two in the league and the one game against Napoli. So been tightening things up at the other end as well and getting a few goals. What do you reckon?
But they're odds on. Yeah. And, you know, you don't back Swansea, they're odds on. And I don't see much of a difference in this game and the Aston Villa-Norwich game. You know, teams are roughly right next to each other in the league table. And yet, whereas Norwich are only 5-2 to win at Villa, Palace are nearly 4-1 here. And I like Palace. I think there's something about Palace that, you know, that most people aren't seeing. That's me for you, a visionary. I know that away record is poor, but this is a winnable fixture and they're nearly 4-1. And Swansea are knackered after midweek. See Naples and die, DAI, in midweek for them. 18-5 for me, Palace. That'll do. Mm.
Tottenham versus Cardiff is the final game that we'll look at then. Tottenham 3-1 on. The draw 4-1. Cardiff 8-1. Listening to BBC's exclusive interview with Vincent Tan this morning, he said, I'm not a villain. Then weirdly finished the interview like this. Which I thought was a very strange thing to do. Stroking a cat on his lap as he did it. Still in bother. You know, Solskjaer, feel a bit sorry for him, but he got himself into the mess. And he looks like he's struggling to figure out how to get out of it. But they were ripped to bits by Hull, that partnership of Long and Jelovic last week. You know, if they can rip them to bits, you would imagine that Tottenham should rip them to bits at home, notwithstanding they've had that European action in midweek, came from 2-2 on aggregate to win 3-2 on aggregate. Tremendous result. Third favourites for the Europa League, Derek. They should hammer Cardiff, really, all things being equal.
Wow.
I said 3-1 on the...
I think you did.
3-1, yeah.
Decent.
Yeah, I don't see how Cardiff are only 8-1 for this fixture, you know. Well, Hull went to Arsenal a few seasons ago. They were 20-1, weren't they? Mm-hmm. And we're expected to fancy the Cardiff, who are just team out of the depth at the moment. The team just being pulverised 4-0 at home by Hull and out of the way at Tottenham. Tottenham at 1-3. I never thought I'd ever say it back Tottenham at those kind of odds, but there's no options. You've got to. Go win this.
Yeah. When you compare that to the Fulham, the 7-1 for Fulham at home, I know it's Chelsea, but still.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. 8-1 doesn't look big enough, does it?
No way.
You know, if you're an odds-on punter, Robbie, you like putting hackers together, 1-3 Spurs probably would have to go in. It's maybe not the working man's price for a single, but looks a decent bet to put in a double, doesn't it, Tottenham at home?
Definitely. I'll go Spurs at home, definitely. Spurs 2-0.
Let me have a look at the price of Spurs 2-0. Well, the guys get their thoughts together on the bet of the week. Tottenham to win 2-0 is even money. Cardiff have failed to score in five of the last six meetings, with Tottenham in all competitions. So Spurs to win 2-0, even money. Does look a decent price. Bets of the week then. Robbie, you've already given us yours. I think it was
2-0 Chelsea.
It was Chelsea 2-0, wasn't it? Fair enough. What are you going to go for?
Well, you know what, Lee? I could be adventurous and go for Stoke to beat Arsenal at 9-2. But more, I had a near miss last week. I want to get a winner. I don't want to have another loser this week. And I know that Arsenal have to be opposed. So what I'm doing, the draw worries me in this fix yet. So I'm going to go for Stoke plus a goal at 6-5.
Stoke plus one at 6-5. I'm going to pick Ron's for him because he's...
Pick Ron's team, please, as well in the Scotland-England game. Don't let Ron do it.
I tell you what, he's got decent... he told me that the front line was... It was Sheringham, Sinclair and one other.
Isla Sinclair.
And one other. I can't remember who it was now. But there was a decent front line he had going for him. Lee Hendry was in midfield. Lee Sharp's his assistant manager. So anything could happen, really, couldn't it, in that? Back to this. I'm going to go for the... as soon as Ron was a League Cup winner on more than one occasion, I'm going to go for the League Cup final and I'm going to go with a bet that... I like the bet that Robbie put up, but in true spirit of Ron, I'm going to go for bigger than that. I'm going to go for minus two goals at 15-8. 7-10 wouldn't be a Ron kind of bet, would it, to be fair?
No.
In fact, a Ron kind of bet would be Manchester City to win 3-0 and name all three of the scorers, to be fair. I'll go for that one, 15-8 for City to win minus two on the handicap. So a three-goal clear victory. I think they'll just tire Sunderland out on that big pitch.
Don't start with that big pitch.
Robbie, thanks for your time. Cheers, Derek.
Speak to you next week.
We'll speak to the guys ahead of the internationals next week, of course. In the meantime, if you're having a bet on any of the matches, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.